There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rippin'.
All right, Mr. Michael Jordan here on the Member Guest Podcast. Michael E. Jordan, should probably state that for everybody that ends up watching our YouTube. And if you're just listening, sorry to disappoint. And trust me, I don't think people are going to be disappointed, MJ, but you know, when you say the name Michael Jordan, like, how many times have you gotten that? Oh man, we were really hoping.
Oh, they'll be disappointed.
You were him.
Dude, it might happen. I don't know. It's not that bad. It's only like 9 or 10 times a day.
I'll have to put Michael E. Jordan in the title so that Jordan. There's not any confusion. We would try to set this up for a while, man. So thank you for finally coming on.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here and look forward to chatting with you about all things golf related. So to clarify, yes, I'm the shorter, whiter, not as good looking version of Michael Jordan. And that whole thing happens, you know, maybe 9, 10 times a day. I actually have a funny golf story. Have you been to Sage Valley or ever heard of that course?
It's no.
Right down by Augusta.
No.
If you can envision heaven on earth, it's like when you imagine dying and playing golf in heaven, that's what the fairways and tee boxes look like on this course. It's unbelievable. But the first time I went down there,
I've been to Augusta because I went to a practice round there. It was beautiful.
It looks just like that, but it's like a private course, really exclusive membership. The Waltons built it. Like the rumor has it that the guy who founded Walmart, Walgreens, couldn't get into Augusta. They said, hey, you know, we're full. Sorry, we don't care how much money you have. He said something to the tune of, well, screw you, I'm going to go build my own Augusta. And he did, and brought all the caddies over with him and built this unbelievable country club. And so I was lucky enough to get invited to tag along and go down there a few years ago. And tie this back to my name, you can imagine when they see the tee sheet, people are like, oh man, you know, because the other MJ has been there many times and played. So I get up to grab my bag and, you know, it's a cart barn filled with all these caddies, or not a cart barn, a caddy shack filled with all the caddies. And the caddy master said, what's your name? I said, Jordan, first name, Michael. All of a sudden the whole place erupts. Damn. Everybody's throwing $20 bills around and just sheer disappointment because they thought it was the real Michael Jordan coming in. But it worked out. I actually had a guy by the name of Old Roy, the oldest caddy on the block, who he actually taught Kevin Kisner how to golf when Kevin was a kid. So he basically taught me how to golf too. And this was back in, I don't know, 2019, 2020, somewhere in there. But yeah, man, that whole, I don't know what my mom was thinking on naming me Michael with the last name Jordan, but here I am and I got to deal with that.
I mean, she had to have known when she named you, right? Like, MJ was, prime MJ, isn't it? Early 90s, right? You're what, 92 or 3? Yeah.
93.
Yeah.
February 93. Yeah. So let's see, he was on his way to his third championship that year. And it's a funny one, actually. She loved the name Michael. She wanted to name me Michael. And she told the nurses that's what she was thinking. They said, lady, you're crazy. You can't name your kid Michael Jordan. And then my aunt Linda weighed in on the equation and said, you know, forget it. If you like the name, just name him Michael. That basketball guy, he'll be a flash in the pan 10 years from now. Yeah, Linda was wrong on that one. but it is what it is, man. Here we are. Got some big shoes to fill.
Yeah, you got some big shoes to fill, but you've done well for yourself. So like we really want to make the podcast that we talked today about like golf and golf brands and obviously where you've taken Unreal from, I believe, starting in your mom's basement, going to Mankato, all of those things. I mean, I've known you since high school. I still have your first, one of your first t-shirts in my closet. So like we want to talk golf brands and you've helped out with the new logo, but it would be just a good little, you know, intro on, you know, the story of Unreal. A lot of people in Minnesota listen to us, so they're going to be familiar. Well, let's just talk a little bit about how you've kind of grown the brand. And then now there obviously is this massive focus on golf and how that's bled over. And then we'll talk a little bit about, you know, how you're helping me out. And it would just be good to get your thoughts on, you know, branding in general and, you know, how this concept of Unreal came from like softball jerseys to where it is today. So, yeah, a little intro would be nice. Let's start there.
For sure. Sounds good, man. Yeah. We'll start with kind of the early days. So back at the tail end of 2013, I started this brand called Unreal. And at this time I've already failed one business venture. Not failed, but just the thing was actually massively successful. I had the wrong partner on it, and it ended up falling apart on me. So I dropped out of college midway through sophomore year to get that former company really rolling. And then when everything fell apart, you know, here I am in mom's basement with a mountain of debt that I owed my attorneys to help fight this whole, you know, settlement and all of this. And I'm a 19-year-old college dropout with a mountain of debt, essentially. And I knew I was still hungry to build a brand. I don't know what it was, but I always really wanted to build a brand. And I wanted to do something that was really in line with my interests, which I grew up as an athlete. I love sports. I love golf. I appreciate, you know, high-end clothing. But when people ask, like, have you always been into fashion? The answer is a quick no. I didn't grow up thinking, no, I'm going to be a fashion designer. But, you know, here I am, I guess. I just wanted to build something. You know, I kind of had that creative drive and entrepreneurial spirit, I guess, from a young age. And I kept hearing athletes say the word Unreal. All the time, athletes are using that word to describe the indescribable moments, winning the World Series or a Super Bowl. How does it feel? It's unreal. And so it just kind of clicked to me one day, you know, hey, let's do this again. That's got to be the name of the brand. And I started out with the full word, UNREAL. You know that because you have one of the first t-shirts with the word spelled all the way out. And something about that just didn't look right. So about 2 months in, I changed the branding to UNRL. I'm just going to put this out there. We were one of the first, I won't say we're the first, but we were one of the first to do the no vowels thing. Now it's like the hottest thing ever, but people probably assume that we just hopped on the bandwagon, but I don't think everyone knows we started 10 years ago. We just were pretty irrelevant for the first five. But yeah, man,
you're really small.
Yeah. I mean, it was the biggest bootstrap effort you'll probably ever hear about, but we started the company at $300. And when I say we, I mean me. Quickly brought on a good friend and college classmate, Travis Swan, and he was, you know, employee number one, and really just, we just had a blast doing this. We added employee number two, Tanner Brust, and pretty soon it turned into, you know, five, six of us, then 10 of us. And you know, everybody was underpaid, working more hours than what, you know, we could afford to pay them, and kind of really just a part of the ride and wanted to be part of something cool. And I'm really fortunate and blessed that we had such good people on board throughout the journey. But it you know, it started out as kind of a t-shirt brand right away, and I got bored of making graphic t-shirts, so decided, hey, I really want to make my own fit and have it in my own fabrics. How hard could that be? I think I was so naive at the beginning that that's why I ended up finding success. I didn't look at these challenges like the mountains that they are. I just went after it and, you know, got on a plane and went across the world, went over to Shanghai and Hong Kong and traveled for 3 weeks around the whole country, basically, or I should say the east side of the country, and found some really great suppliers and made some really, really long lasting relationships. You know, some of the guys that I met over there, I see this all the time. They would have been in my wedding. One of them for sure would have been in my wedding if I didn't get married during COVID and there wasn't flight restrictions. But we formed some great partnerships. We found, you know, some unbelievable fabrics, and, you know, I had to go kind of go to the school of hard knocks and learn how to design clothing myself because I couldn't afford a fashion designer to come work for me. But it's been a very, very, very much a grind, and no corners have been cut really. You know, we've ran into so many dead ends here and there, but we've twisted and turned and found a way to really be successful. And I'd say from the very beginning, the goal was to build a lifestyle brand that is tailored towards athletes. An athleisure brand. You know, there's Lululemon at the time, but they were a women's yoga brand, and they were just starting to somehow get rugged male athletes to wear their brand. And, you know, I give my hats off to those guys because their product was just a different level of quality back then. It really raised the bar from what Nike and Adidas and all the brands that we were used to growing up were doing. And so when I saw that, I was pretty inspired by what they were doing and thought, well, you know, if we can match their quality or beat their quality and appeal to athletes instead of, you know, the healthy living yoga crowd and appeal more to men, I think we'll have something here. We have a cool brand. We have, if we can get our product to be that level of quality, I think we'll find some success. Well, that's easier said than done, but, I think it took us a while to really get our feet moving on the lifestyle brand. It was, I would say, for the first 5 years when we were not super well known, it was grabbing onto whatever straw was, you know, handed to us. And, you know, whether it's youth sports teams, apparel, and, you know, custom name and numbers on it, or corporate apparel, we were kind of doing everything we could just to make ends meet. And it was when COVID hit that our backs were against the wall a little bit, and everybody in our corner is staying for a little staff and just do what you can to keep the lights on. And I didn't really feel good about that. So made the decision, you know, with some of my team's input. Obviously they were favorable for this decision, but it was, you know, we can do that. That's option A. The safe play is furlough staff, cut expenses, hang on until the world comes back, or we double down, triple down on our advertising and really take a swing at becoming the lifestyle brand that we've always wanted to be. And so we went for it, and it was a big risk, but it, you know, I kind of looked at it in the light of, you know, one, handing it over to God, letting him control it. And if the door's open, I know we're on the right path. And two, you know, just kind of having it be on our own terms. If we're going to go down, I wanted to, you know, go down swinging where we were kind of in control. I didn't want to just slow fade out with, you know, all the other companies that unfortunately got gobbled up during the pandemic. But yeah, man, that's kind of the, maybe a little more depth than I plan on giving, but that's kind of the backstory, early days roots of starting Unreal. And today we're 50 employees, you know, an 8-figure brand that is doing really well in all 50 states. And we've really captured that lifestyle that we've always been looking for. And I think what we've done a little differently is introduced collaborations and really leaned into collaborate with different sports teams and organizations that have like-minded audiences and some overlap in our brands. And, you know, I think we've done a really nice job with that, with from the NFL to NHL and everything in between. I think we've had some fun with those collaborations. It's helped us grow our brand, and it's just continued to open door after door. And so it's been a fun ride, man. It's been a long journey, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. Like tell people I've just been spent the last 10 years avoiding getting a real job, and I'm going to keep doing it until something changes and I need to get a real job. So it's been fun.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a business owner, man, you definitely have a real job. I mean, you're running a company that has 50 employees, right? And, definitely doing enough revenue annually to, justify having a real job. So I don't know if I put it that way. You're probably just one of the few people that's very fortunate to truly do what they love, right? I think that's the biggest difference. So I'm really, really proud of you. I mean,
yeah,
to see where you came from. I mean, we didn't really know each other in high school all that well, like how I know the Solanis guys. So you're 2 years younger than me.
Yep.
But I do remember once I got into college, reaching out and talking about Unreal and just trying to support you from day one. It's been so cool to see where it's come up to this point. And I was talking with Colin Landforce today. I know you messaged with Landforce, sounds like a little bit, and he's down to do a pod with us, which would be sweet.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we were talking about is this kind of this difference between like brand apparel.
Oh, that would be cool.
And then like community brand and how they're two different things. And so I wanted to chat a little bit, you know, like with member guests and what we're doing.
Elaborate on that.
Yeah. So like with member guests and what we're doing, it's more, you know, we started as a podcast and our whole thing was like, we just want to talk about the sport that we love and the experiences that it brings and how it's more than just really a sport to us. Right. And with that comes, you know, your listeners that either agree with you or, you know, like what you're saying or feel those same things that you feel. And that's what brings the community together, kind of the value. And so that's what we were talking about in terms of community. And then you have,
for sure,
yep, like, you know, call it brand apparel or more brand focused, where, you know, it's focused on the hats, the shirts, you know, the things that you wear. And the two kind of delineations I draw between this are, you know, when I think of a brand apparel, I think of a Malbon, right? Like they are clothes, they are collaborations with brands. I think of you guys as that as well. And then when I think of like a community, I think of like Breezy Golf or Bob Does Sports, where, yeah, they have hats and stuff, but they're not out there trying to put out.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, good. They're not out there trying to put out a high end, you know, apparel line like what Unreal has. They're out there trying to like get people to watch their content and be a part of that. And so trying to understand kind of, you know, where we want to go. Our goal is not to get big, but our goal is to have, you know, people who see the sport or, you know, see things the way that we do and love it for the same way, you know, kind of create a more community around that. And then obviously, you know, apparel and whatnot is a part of that. So I don't know. I just kind of want to talk about that a little bit because you've helped with the logo and you've kind of listened to me talk out loud and you know, see what you think. And you know, if you were to do it all over again, right? Like, what have you learned?
Oh man, that's such a good question. And I guess first of all, backing up a ways here. Thanks for supporting from the very beginning, man. Like you said, you didn't really know me from Adam. You just knew I was a kid that went to the same high school and jumped on, bought the early t-shirts that, you know, they were nothing special. So thanks for doing that. Hopefully they're worth something, you know, one day. And actually they're probably worth a decent amount right now if you want to flip them and make a $500. But no, I appreciate it, man. It means a lot. And so jumping forward to the community brands versus the brands, I've never heard it, you know, split like that, but I think about it often. I think of it more like there's content driven clothing brands and then there's product driven clothing brands. And so I consider Unreal, we started by just trying to make a badass product. It was the best in class, you know, and we didn't really do anything content wise. We didn't have a podcast. We didn't have a YouTube channel. Yeah, we were on Twitter and Instagram, but honestly, we fought for content for a long time. Like, you know, you can only do so much with having your buddy be the model and stand there and look to the left and pose a little bit. Like, it just doesn't sell product, you know?
Yeah.
And so people ask me for advice all the time on starting a brand these days. I tell them, start with, make content, man. Do content first. And I was thinking about you earlier today, actually, and I thought, Jordan might actually take this thing really far. If you can really build this member guest podcast to be a huge community, layering on the apparel is the fun icing on the cake, really. And it takes some of the pressure off your back too on needing to be the best in class when it comes to the fabrics, the fit, the quality of the garment. You know, people at the end of the day just want to buy the member guest brand because they love the content. It's like Barstool, right? Barstool can throw out whatever garbage bag they want with their logo on it and people are going to buy it. Granted, you know, we do a lot of work with Barstool and I think we've been really successful with Barstool because we were bringing a level of premium to it. And I know they have plenty of other brands that are doing a great job with product and, you know, plenty of others bringing premium product. My point was, I guess, more hypothetical that it wouldn't matter if it was a Gildan cotton t-shirt and have their logo, people will probably buy it. So I think the path of least resistance, if you're looking to start a clothing brand, is start with create content first and then layer on the apparel. Otherwise, you know, and that's more of how can I become a marketing expert more so than how can I become a product development expert. And then I also need to figure out how to be a marketing expert, because honestly, it doesn't matter how good your product is. If nobody's showing up at your website or walking in the doors of your retail store, good luck. You know, you're not going to sell very many of them. And so I think we've kind of taken the long route and focused more on the product. And we've had to really become experts in the marketing side of things as well. And so I think it's two very different paths, but I look at it as content brands and product brands. Now I think both types of brands have community in common. Like every product-based brand is trying to build a community of loyal followers and people that engage with the brand. And, you know, you're leveraging tools like social media and, you know, forums on your website, things like that to build that community, loyalty programs, et cetera. I think it's very similar with the content brands, but you guys already have a community baked in and you don't have to do as much lifting there to really foster that environment. And the cool thing is, you know, we can't just add a podcast onto our, you know, everything we're doing right now and talk to our customers, but you already have a forum here where you're talking directly to your customers. You go and launch a new line of hats with your new MG logo, and you can jump on the podcast that night and talk about how cool it is and what you're experiencing and give fans a kind of behind the scenes look at all of it. And that's cool, man. There's a lot of value to that. And again, I'll just reiterate, I think it is the path of least resistance if you're a good marketer. And that's what most people are when they decide they want to start a clothing brand.
Yeah. And I would think too, the part that I've thought a lot about is, you know, whether it's a brand or a company, like at the end of the day, the reason you either succeed or fail is because you're providing value to people, right? Like, you know, I used to buy a ton of Lulu clothes. Yep. Because at the time, like you said, they were like the high end gym brand, right? And now I buy Aloe, I buy all these different brands. Yep. for the same reason, right? For us, and just for like, you know, I love the way that you called it, like brand content brand versus apparel, or I can't remember the two that you said, like a content company versus a
content brand and a product brand
company. Yeah. What did you say? It resonated. Yeah. A product company. Like, yeah. You basically explained it a lot faster than I ever could. Like
clothing brand versus a content brand.
Yeah. 100%. And so like when I think about our content, the thing that Andy and I, and you know, even when Tony and Johnny were super involved, and you know, they still come on every now and again, the whole thing was like, this is a hobby. We're doing it for fun, and we do it because we genuinely love it. Like we love the sport. We love playing different courses. We love talking with caddies. We love talking with aspiring pros. Like we love the game more than just the stuff that you see on TV. And that seems to have resonated with our audience, because a lot of the quote unquote golf podcasts that are out there are either like, how can you break 120 and learn the game? Or, you know, how do you, you know, when you're watching the tours, the tour pros, what do they do and how's their game? There's nothing for like just the, you know, the solid, really good golfer out there, that person that, you know, actually plays golf and really understands the game to that level. It's just kind of this different niche, if you will. And so what I'm coming back to is like the way that we started was providing value to our listeners on how to, you know, maybe get better, like top end equipment, you know, kind of this area that people hadn't really touched before. And so now coming out with kind of like that premium logo or that premium brand type of feel, tying those two things together. And that's what you and I have been trying to like figure out over the past couple of weeks. So like, dude, I need help because I don't want to mess this up. And the beauty of it all is like, when you do it for fun and you do it for a hobby and you do it for like why you love it, I feel like that's how that passion is what helps you like overcome all that stuff that you were talking about earlier. And you just power through, right? Because you absolutely love it. And it's not that you don't care if it succeeds or fails. It's just that, you know, you're doing it for the right reasons. And that's what makes it feels really
good. 100%, man. And if that's what you feel when you sit down and do these podcasts, then keep on doing it. 100%. I tell, you know, I go speak at colleges and every once in a while, and my best advice is focus on what you love. And well, start early is what I tell the college kids. So if you have any younger listeners, if you have any desire to start something, do it early and fall on your face 5 times, because you need to do that. Don't make no mistake about it. You need to fall down in order to be successful. I had the company I had started. I started a web design company when I was 13 years old, carried golf bags at Dulwich Country Club. And, you know, I made my $40 around or $50 around, but my real hustle was trying to get a website job. And so I was selling websites, logos, all that, 13 to, you know, the time I went to college when I was 17, 18. And then it transitioned. I started this softball jersey manufacturing company, and then it was in esports, bringing the sublimated jersey over to esports. And I did it because I saw an opportunity, but I still loved what I was doing. It just wasn't my true passion, right? But you, I guess the opportunity that came to be was Major League Gaming, which would be the equivalent of the NFL video games. We signed a licensing deal with them where every team and player that signs up for an MLG tournament had to buy an official jersey through gamingjerseys.com, which was the first, you know, second company and started, first real company. And the numbers that we were going to do in revenue were astronomical. The company was already coming up on $1 million in sales in year one. But once you add on this partnership, it was unbelievable when you looked at the numbers. And for me to, I guess, you know, strike oil on my first at, to hit a grand slam on your first at bat, I don't think I ever would have understood the fundamentals of the game. And I needed to have a rude awakening there, as tough as it was. I went through 8 months of arbitration. It was like, and battling against my former business partner to try to come to a resolution on how this company was going to move forward. And I dropped out of school. I spent that 8 months going to the attorney's office. It was me and my attorney, him and his attorneys, and just disputing for 8 months straight every day. It was absolutely exhausting. But it was my MBA program while I was an undergrad and dropped out for the year and a half. And I think having that all come to an end, I ended up just pulling the plug and saying, you know what, I don't think this is going to work. I'm going to cut my losses here. And I was where I had a lot of debt, but I needed to hit quote unquote rock bottom in order to understand how hard it is to succeed in business, and that it's not just step up to the plate, take a swing and get rich overnight. And so my advice that I give college kids now is, you know, one, start early, fail, and go after what you're passionate about. Because I hear so many guys come to me, hey, I want to start a clothing brand. Can you give me some pointers? Here's what I'm thinking. And I first question I ask is, why are you doing it? And if the answer back is, well, because I know you can make a lot of money with a clothing brand, I tell them, you know what, man, this is probably not it for you. If you're in this just to make money, you're going to get steamrolled by guys like me who are so passionate about this. You're never going to be able to compete with us. If you're only focused on money, it's a job. You know, it's, you might as well go be in the stock market game, because this is probably not, and it's so competitive. There's so many, think of all the celebrities that start a clothing brand and they fail with their star power and all the, you know, all the money and resources you could ask for. And those don't work. It takes some serious passion to get to the next level in anything you do. So start with what you love. Get so damn good at it that you are now the best in class at what you do, and money will come, but the money will be a byproduct of your success and your craft, right? And you know, there's one caveat to that. Like, you have to pick something that you can monetize ultimately. You have to see a path to it. I love golf. Am I going to monetize that and become a pro golfer? No, I'm not. And I would love to, but I just don't have the talent. So you have to be somewhat realistic. That doesn't mean you can't dream big, but you know, you got to have a clear path on how you're going to monetize what you're passionate about and make sure there's a market and all the other, you know, kind of fundamental requirements that need to be there in order to ultimately see your vision come to life. But do something you love is the idea. And if you're feeling that with this podcast, then keep doing it, man. And if you do it doesn't feel like work. So you're willing to put in the hours. And that's what I mean when I say I've been spending the last 10 years avoiding getting a real job. It's kind of just a joke, but it, you know, yeah, obviously it's a real job and it comes with so much stuff that is not glitz and glamour and all the things that people see on Instagram. mainly because I'm not going to post all the junk you got to do as a business owner. But, you know, it's so worth it. And you're willing to go through the trenches and go the extra mile. I mean, I was up till 1 a.m. last night working on our Women's Line website because it was, by the way, we launched a Women's Line today. It was unbelievable. Super successful. Don't mean to go on a tangent, but.
And I saw Betsy posted about it. She was, you could tell, yeah, she was definitely in on the Women's Line. She loved it. You can tell when somebody actually loves something, they're not just doing it, you know, to do it.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, we're not paying Betsy to do that. So that's what's really cool. But I guess my point is I was up till 1 a.m. and, you know, my wife, my mother-in-law are popping out and checking in. Hey, oh my gosh, can't believe you're still awake. You know, they feel all bad for me. And I appreciate that for sure. And I don't want to be up till 1 a.m, you know, tying up loose ends with the website, but, you know, it doesn't faze me like it would if it was, you know, me doing a bunch of paperwork for my 9-to-5 desk job that I hate. It's something that you love. You want to do it right and you want to do it well. And you know, wake up today and the money is a byproduct. You know, this thing has been beyond my expectations in terms of how much excitement is around it right now. And, you know, it's just the very beginning. So that stuff gets me so fired up and just, you know, so excited. And, you know, when I started, I had a vision that I wanted people to, I wanted to create things. Like I had all these ideas in my head. I wanted to bring them to life into a tangible physical product. And I thought, how cool would it be to walk around town in public and see people wearing my product that I don't even know. And hopefully it makes them as happy as it made me making the product. And that dream has, you know, come to life big time. And, you know, I can't really go anywhere now without seeing somebody in something. And it's so cool. Like I still am like a kid in the candy store seeing people at the airport or wherever that I don't even know. And yeah, man, it wasn't the money is the point. It wasn't like, oh, I want to start this so I can be super rich and famous. It was, you know, strictly out of passion. And that's what I'm hearing from you too. It's first thing you said was, I'm not in this to get huge and make $1 million. I'm in this to, you know, inspire people, talk to people, build a community. And I just love doing it. So I think you're on the right track for sure.
Yeah. Andy and I actually are. So our new motto is play more, care less. And it goes back to this idea that, you know, you have to almost not care when you play golf to play really well, right? Like you have to accept the outcomes of the shot. You have to accept, you know, the fact that you could hit a putt at the perfect speed on the exact line you wanted and it doesn't go in sometimes and other times it does, right? You just have to, not care. So we say play more, care less. And when it comes to the brand, like, you know, if it blows up, like, cool. If it doesn't, whatever, like we'll still be recording. We'll still have people, you know, whether it's 10 people or 10,000 people listening, like we don't care. And so I do want to talk, like, now that we're trying to take this, you know, to where our next kind of passion or thoughts are, which is doing, you know, apparel, it's doing like member guest events with our listeners and the people that even joined the podcast. You know, we just have a lot of cool ideas that at the end of the day are doing fun stuff with your buddies. If people think it's cool, great. So when you and I were working on the logo, like a couple things we talked about. I really wanted like the bold, the M and the G, because I feel like with member guests, there's just a lot there and people like kind of inherently understand what a member guest is. Right. And being able to use the member and the guest, whether best it's content or events. Yeah. It's the best. And then the little flag in between, you know, I'm wearing the Dormy Network today. I love the flags. And I was like, yeah, I don't really know what color. And you were like, what about green? Like, let's take the green that you add from the podcast that people, you know, kind of know and remember that green and white. And it's unique. Like, there's not a lot of green brands out there in general. I was like, you know what? Screw it. Like, yeah, why not green? Like, why not, you know, what our old brand is, something different and unique. And dude, I'm serious. Like, we just changed this, you know, less than a week ago, maybe even a week ago. And the number of texts I've got of people that are like, man, I really like the new logo. That's going to look good on stuff. Or I really like how things look now. It's to your point, like I'm a kid in the candy store and I feel like I didn't really do anything. I was kind of a cool logo. And I'm like, dude, that makes me so happy. Like, thank you so much for saying that. And so that's what gets me excited about like putting this on stuff and getting it out there. So I don't know if you had, like, I don't know if this stuff just comes to you or what. We went through a couple of iterations, but like, one, talking through how you landed on that. And I know you've been doing logos for a long time. So I'm just kind of curious, and I want to see where we can actually take this thing.
Yeah, man. A lot there to unpack. Well, first of all, I'm glad you're getting a good response so far. That's a good first signal for sure. When I was working on this, you know, you had a handful of ideas. You love the Malbon look. You love the Peter Millar look. And those are two very conflicting, different stylistic looking logos, right? In my mind. And Peter Millar is that very clean, serif font, classy looking logo. And then Malbon is very youthful with the script. And you know, almost you pointed out, well, Titleist is classy and they have a script font. I thought, oh, yeah, you're right. Okay. So you can go either way, but obviously they have the golf ball cartoon icon. And so we went back and forth on all those different things. I think, you know, you ultimately made the call that you wanted it to be a little more upscale, classy, country club vibe, member guests, where, you know, if Malbon wasn't as big and successful as they are, I don't think that they would be very well received walking into a country club if they were some new kid brand off the street, right? It just looks a little too youthful. But because everyone knows they are, I don't know, I guess I shouldn't really give them this big of a shout out, but they're the supreme of golf, right? I mean, they're kind of the collab it brand that's a little street with a whole lot of golf, and it's cool. Hats off to those guys as well. My caddy actually at Sage Valley caddied a lot for the owner of Malbon, and so he was giving me, you know, a couple, just told me the guy is freaking awesome, and he's just like one of those wild card guys that'll just go jump out of a plane right now if you asked him to do it, kind of a thing. And so love to meet him at some point. But
I've heard that from the Bettinardi guys. They said the same thing, because Bettinardi and Malbon have done a bunch of collabs at this point. I know that's Malbon's thing. Like, yeah, they have their own stuff, but it's pretty cool to see them do collaborations with TaylorMade and Adidas and, you know, whoever. Yeah. They're out there doing collaborations with everybody. And the Bettinardi guys said the same thing. And I like, when I think about member guests, you know, when I said I really like the classiness of Peter Millar and like the coolness and the theme of Malbon, what I was getting to is like, Malbon has done such a good job collaborating and bringing that cool, like you said, their brand into all these other brands that also have their own, right? And it's making that mixture of the two.
Yep.
And then when I start to think about, like, you know, member guest tournaments and playing with your partner and, you know, matching outfits and all this stuff that makes these clubs unique to, you know, that private experience of golf and what they provide their members and their guests, that's what this whole thing is all about. It's the experience, it's the golf, it's the events, it's all that stuff. And being able to do like collaborations with, whether it's courses or brands or whatever, that's like, that's the much larger vision. And then like what you were saying earlier about how you got to have kind of that vision. You got like, why are you doing it? And you also have to love it. I figured that out. Yeah. And now I'm sitting here going, what the hell? I've got too many ideas in my head. I don't even know how to get them out on paper. So this has been super fun to talk.
Sky's the limit. Yeah. Well, so I'm as you now learned, I can go on a tangent pretty quickly. I went from how did I come up with a logo to the Malbon guys jumping out of a plane. But
see, that's the way podcasts go, man.
Going back to the logo design, you know, we landed on a little more Peter Millar, maybe. And, you know, we love that, you know, I've been on plenty of Dormy trips together. We love that logo. It's something just so cool and nostalgic about that. So I wanted to make sure it was different enough from theirs where they don't look at it and go, well, what the heck? They ripped us off. So it's a little bit of Dormy meets the Peter Millar classy serif font logo. And I wanted to really make sure that it was symmetrical overall, that it's gonna look really solid on any type of apparel that you put it on. And you and I had talked about, well, yeah, but this is gonna, like you had said, this is gonna be the apparel logo, and then I'm gonna have the podcast logo, which is different. And I'm gonna have a symbol or an emblem, and then I'm gonna have the word mark logo. And we talked about that one on the phone really quick. I think I was driving and we were texting, and I ended up just calling you. You were like, hey, I only have 5 minutes. I'm like, well, I need to get this off my chest. You know, a lot of people have pressured me over the years. You know, when are you going to have the swoosh for Unreal? What's the emblem? And the icon, if you will. And that really puzzled me for a long time. I spent so much time trying to figure out what would be our symbol. It started, we had a little crown. If you remember, it's probably on the first shirt that you have. Mm-hmm. Way different than Peter Millar. I don't even think I knew who Peter Millar was when I did that. But and that, I don't know, it just didn't feel right. It didn't look good by itself. And the next idea I had, I never even sketched it, but the only thing I could think of that is like unrealistic in nature is a chameleon. And I was thinking like kind of the penguin logo, the alligator, the, you know, there's plenty of brands, Vineyard Vines did the whale, plenty of brands that have leaned into that. And I thought a chameleon is like the most unrealistic creature that lives on the planet. You know, they just totally change colors in the environment. And you could do a lot marketing wise, I think, with something like that. So that was the only one that I thought maybe had some merit to it. And before I even sketched it, the light bulb kind of went off again, just me laying there in bed thinking at night. And I thought, what am I doing? You know, why would I want to come up with a whole nother logo this far into the game and try to educate all my customers, my community, that this chameleon also means UNRL? And it just didn't make sense to me. I thought, you know what? UNRL is our swoosh. When you use it in the purest form, like our primary logo, this on my hat is a little bit different. This is one of the first times we've ever really ventured away from our traditional, you know, font and the four letters. But I would say, you know, the one comparable I can think of would be Boss. Hugo Boss does the same thing. They don't have an icon. They just have their four letters. So I tried to explain that to you a little bit, that let's not go outside of that box too much. And let's try to have one really cool logo that represents everything in your network, your brand network, whether it's podcasts or the apparel or whatever may be next. I think, you know, we can take your NG with the flag in the middle and we can, you know, mount it inside of a crest or something and put Member Guest Podcast around the edges and give you something that is a little bit more distinguished for the podcast, but it looks, nobody would ever mistake it as a different brand. So I think there's a lot to having continuity within your branding and not going outside the box too much. It's my personal, you know, recommendation, but yeah, it's expensive. You know, if you want to try to educate everybody on all these different brands, I think you lose the integrity of your brand and it costs you a lot of money to do it. So I don't see the net win out of that.
Yeah, I definitely don't disagree with you. I mean, when you said it, I always have to remind myself, like, I can definitely tell you've got that sense of value, somebody that's done this before, that, you know, I can see it, like, in hindsight, man, I wish I would have done this, this, and this. And so that's why I tapped you on the shoulder, because I know you know what you're talking about. And like, when you call me, it immediately makes sense. I'm like, yeah, why would I have four logos? Like, when I think of brands, you have that first image in your head, right? And yeah, they have spinoffs here and there, but it's that first image in your head that you always remember. And so I'm like, yeah, you know, so I was like, let's just do it. This is it right here. Like, I don't know why I'm fighting this. It's almost like I'm trying to check myself sure. on it a little bit. But, you know, I had a really good conversation with Colin. He's a really smart guy too, when it comes to like brand and apparel and how to do all that type of stuff. So I've talked to two really, really smart dudes today and I'm super excited.
What is Colin's background, by the way? I just stumbled across his Instagram a couple of months ago. Actually, my COO, who's Monica, she's phenomenal, but you know, she's a 60-year-old businesswoman who, yeah, she actually is a phenomenal golfer, but I got her on Instagram like 6 months ago and she found him and sent him over to me. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy's legit. He knows what he's talking about. And I would say, like, not to be arrogant in any way at all, but you know, I've obviously been through the trenches over the last, call it 15 years, in the apparel game. And I've learned a lot along the way and I can smell it immediately when somebody's BSing, you know, their way through giving people advice or whatever, talking about what a brand is doing right or wrong. And everything this guy puts out, I'm listening to it. I'm like, yeah, he's right. No, he gets it. He's really on point with what he's saying about this or that, whether it's an unboxing or the way, you know, Tiger's Sunday Red brand is going to hit the market and all these different things. But this guy's legit. I actually DM'd him. I don't know if he told you. I said, what do you think about coming to work for me? I could use a guy like you on my team. And he said, oh man, I'm flattered, but I got about 20 irons in the fire. I got a whole lot on my plate right now, but, you know, thanks for the offer. And he followed up by saying, actually did a poll the other day about, to all my fans asking what brand's factory do you want to, or what brand do you want to know where they're manufacturing and who their factories are? And he said Unreal was the second most picked out of, you know, the top 10 golf brands in the industry. And he's like, so hats off to you, man. And I was like, well, thanks. I don't know if I'm flattered or nervous that everybody's trying to get my factories, but you know, it was, he's legit is my whole point.
Yeah. I mean, from what I know, like when we were talking, yeah, his background is in branding.
Was he at Nike or something?
When I looked him up, he's got like he has like his own cannabis brand out in Oregon. Mm. And I think he does like the brand consulting stuff on the side. So like when I looked it up, I think his success actually comes from, it's like, I can't remember the name. I should, well, here, I'll just look it up real quick. So
cannabis company?
2 seconds. LTRMN. It says they are a, he worked at another brand called Bloom Holdings. So it looks like he's been in the like cannabis experience game for a while. Obviously it's illegal out there in Oregon. He's starting to pick up everywhere else.
Now I know why he's so philosophical.
He just, you know, he started a brand and I know he plays golf. He said he does. So probably bleeds over into that.
Yeah. Well, that's similar to me. I mean, we started out as being an athleisure brand for athletes that, you know, I just wanted to make the everyday casual apparel that pro athletes and you know, guys like us are choosing to wear off the field or off the course or court or rink or whatever it may be. You know, I grew up playing a little bit of golf, or I played quite a bit, I guess, growing up as a kid. And then I didn't really play through high school. I was so focused on playing hockey and playing lacrosse in the summer, and didn't have any time to play golf really in college. But I picked it up in, I think it was 2018, 2019. It was right before, like about a year or 2 years before the pandemic, when the whole world became golfers. And I started to really get the itch where, you know, you hit a few good shots and you keep coming back. Then you put a round together and you know, you break 80 or you get close or whatever. And then you really get competitive with it. And I started to really fall in love with it. And we always offered a couple of polos in our apparel line, but it was more like business casual, I guess, you know, not printed polos, really just high end, clean cut, solid polos. And then I think it was like 2019 when we really decided to build out a golf brand. And then, you know, the whole pandemic thing happened and the world decided to become golfers. And that was a nice wind at our back for sure. I obviously created a whole lot of additional competition as well. But it was, you know, it's just become such a passion of mine personally that I think I push it. I've been pushing it, you know, more than I can't even say that. Actually, we got some, pretty much everybody in our office is big time golfers. I put in a Trackman's simulator bay and a full bar at our office, and that was a big hit. Everybody wasn't too upset about that expense hitting the P&L. but the buy-in at our office is pretty big. And, you know, I think we've been struggling with capacity, to be honest with you. Like, we have all these collabs going on with the NFL and just our general lifestyle, athleisure apparel, everyday apparel. the success of those two things has definitely limited our capacity and our ability to really build a solid golf brand that stands on its own. So it's always been a division of Unreal, but it's never really been a carved out division with people dedicated to running it and not touching anything else, right? And so just a few months ago, right at the tail end of last year or early this year, we hired director of golf, Jeff Erickson. And so he's the director of Unreal Golf brand. His mission is really to, it's almost like starting a whole new business. He's already got a lot of momentum behind him with, you know, the Unreal Golf brand stands on its own already a bit, but we want to see him take this to a whole nother level and really turn it into top 10, top 5 brand in the golf industry. And, I've got a few pretty specific goals down on paper that I'll keep close to the chest for this podcast. But yeah, man, we have really big plans. I'll just leave it at that, that we have some really big plans that we're planning to roll out, and we're excited to have some dedicated people sitting in those seats. And, I'm full of confidence that if we keep doing our thing in terms of our product and our product quality, the marketing concept that we put out, we'll be able to, really get some solid legs under this thing in a short period of time.
Yeah, man, I'm really, really, really proud of you, one, but two, excited to see. I know you're going to do something big with the brand. This is just me taking guesses that you have not indicated anything to me whatsoever, but I would imagine within the next, call it year, 2-3 years, somewhere in the very near future, you're probably going to have a big name golfer, called a top 50 golfer on the PGA Tour, wearing Unreal. So I can imagine that's got to be the next step, is getting somebody of that nature. And I'm excited to watch whoever it's going to be. And if it's not somebody, I'm always open for business to wear the Unreal when I go out and play. And so, yeah, man, I'm, again, proud of you. Thank you so much for helping with what we're trying to do here.
Thanks, man.
And just appreciate you having you as a friend and somebody I can look to for business advice. And thanks for coming on the pod, man. I would love to have you on again, and hopefully we'll play golf here soon.
Thanks, man. I appreciate all those words. And, likewise, thank you for supporting since the very beginning and letting me come on this podcast. And I'll say, man, you're doing something right. It might be early in your journey right now, but you're talking to Colin Landforest, one of the biggest golf influence brand guys on Instagram. I mean, I might not be anything too special, but you got the CEO of Unreal on your podcast. I can't talk worse shit, but I can do some business stuff all right. So, you're doing something right. You have great connections, and I'm excited to see where this thing goes. And similar to my giddiness or kid in the candy store feeling about making apparel and seeing people wearing it, I get that same feeling helping my friends with their branding and doing logos. And, you probably noticed I didn't send you an invoice for my time on your logo, and I'm not planning to, but I do that every once in a while when I can, just because I like, try to add a little bit of a signature touch to the projects that my buddies are working on. And my hope is that it becomes something big. So I'm pulling for you, and anything I can do to help promote MGP, I'm all in.
Yeah, man, I can only imagine what the hourly rate is at now that, you guys are doing high figures every year, like you said, or whatever it might be. So we'll save that conversation for another time. And again, appreciate you coming on. And also, I'm sure I'll see you on the golf course soon, man. Get back from Florida safe. Come back here. It's starting to warm up now.
Sounds good, buddy. I'll be back Saturday. We'll get around on the books.
All right. Sounds good, MJ. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you.
All right. You too.